When most people think of Soho, they envision a shopping mecca, a capitalist experience full of tourists and money, devoid of personality or flavor. But tucked away in this upscale world lies a block with a completely different vibe, a block that maintains some of the feeling of an older, less glamorous New York. Sullivan Street, between Spring and Houston, retains much of the history and culture of what was once called the South Village. Neighborhood cafes and locally owned stores seem to flourish here, whereas just two blocks down, they close one after another. But even though Sullivan Street derives so much of its charm from its history, some are concerned that the last remaining block of its kind will soon fall prey to the homogenization and commercial interests that have whitewashed the rest of the area. St. Anthony of Padua, a Catholic church located on the corner of Houston Street and Sullivan Street since the late 1800s, is seen as something of a landmark in the neighborhood, a bastion of stability in what is otherwise a rapidly changing environment. Father Joseph Lorenzo has been the pastor at St. Anthony's for the past 8 years, but first came to the church in the 1970s, a time when the block and New York itself was a completely different place.
Since then, there's been a great change, a tremendous change. It was a middle class Italian neighborhood back in the 70s, and now it's Soho. There's a uniqueness to Sullivan Street, I think. Once you get to West Broadway, the neighborhood changes a lot after that. Right here is kind of a transition, we might call a transition neighborhood from the Village to the more upscale Soho that you get further on down with the shops. But every day, things are changing here, and you can see that in the closing of traditional places that we've had here. For example, Rocco's restaurant on Thompson Street, which just closed. It had been here 70 or 80 years, and now a very upscale place is going in. And we do have a lot of real estate that the church owns here, and we're always getting offers for that, as far as people who want to put up condominiums and things like that. There's always people calling us wanting to know if we want to sell. I think that there are probably three or four identifiable communities here in the church. One are the old Italians that are dying out, Italian men and women who are mostly 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. The second group are students. We get a lot of students, like NYU students. And then you have, the Soho residents, I'm going to say. The upscale people, families, celebrities. We have some celebrities that come to the church. And what has happened, I think, we were just talking the other day with the priests that we noticed a big uptick in younger people coming to church. The older crowd seems to be dying off very, very fast. I'm concerned about, people that don't have the means being pushed out. I always say, Manhattan in 20 years is going to be, an exclusive enclave for the rich. I don't see even in this neighborhood how people can move in. So there's a lot of struggle with that. I think that because of real estate and things like that, most of those other groups have been priced out of this neighborhood. But I think that's the nature of this neighborhood itself. Things could change overnight. You could have a downturn or something, and then all of a sudden, you're living in the slums.
Co-founding the neighborhood bakery Once Upon a Tart in 1993, Jerome Odero has seen the neighborhood shift from that close-knit, middle-class community into a something that he feels hardly resembles a community at all. He says that the transformation into an upscale locale with skyrocketing rents is hurting longtime residents and small business owners alike.
Sullivan Street has such character and doesn't belong to Soho, doesn't belong to the West Village. It's really like his own location.
Started with, came to this country with $1,000 26 years ago. I happened to ride my bike on Sullivan Street back in 1991. And the basement was a treasure. This location used to be a bakery between 1905 to 1925. And basically everything was left intact in the basement. So decided to do it. Renovated the whole space myself. I was baking at night because I started a wholesale business. So basically I was cooking at night out of my loft and during the day, during the renovation here, in order to open.
I bake every single thing. I got flour, butter, sugar, and I made it happen. Everything is made here. So
the point was to create like a whole neighborhood community. Definitely succeeded on that. Still have the same customer after 20 years coming every day. I don't know if you notice next door on the wall, there's those pictures of the bakery and the location in 1905. And in one of the pictures, there's a small kid at the window. That was Eddie. He was this little old grandfather, but like the real typical like grandfather, so sweet with his cane. And it was his parents who used to own the building. But every day he came down, had his biscotti, his shot of espresso, and just walk out without thinking about paying. It's like, unfortunately, the whole city and neighborhood has changed a lot. The art community, they all got kicked out. Like all the old people from the neighborhood, they all got kicked out by rent. Pretty disappointing. Still have some of those people, but definitely a major change as far as the people are not the same. On my way to work, I get fresh squeezed orange juice, 6 o'clock, I'm the only one in the store. Can I get your name? It's the person who's gonna do your juice, okay? Your name, the music blasting, you can't even hear the person. Why the fuck you ask me my name? I'm the only one, you're the one who's gonna make the juice for me. There's nobody else. Like, because you have to enter on the cash register? It's like, wow, I don't get it. The challenge now is to deal with running a business in the city, and that is not easy at all, and it's pretty gross. As a small business, the health inspector, I mean, when they have to find something. The last one was with a magnified glasses, I swear. We get fined all the time. Nothing is done for us as a small business, independent. That's the saddest part to me about the changes of the neighborhood. Every creative business, not just in the food industry, but fashion, or they're unfortunately disappearing. It's becoming just, it's a globalization of the entire city, Banana Republic, a Gap, Club Monaco, a damn Starbucks at every corner. I think you really have to emphasize on how hard it is to run a business in the city. And some people like me really trying to do it, what the city is doing to us. To me, it's something you should really focus on. I mean, because it's in my philosophy, keeping it that way, but fucking hard to do it. And people should be aware of that.
Craig Walker, a resident since the early 1990s, has also witnessed the changing tide in the neighborhood, but is part of a younger generation hoping to revitalize the community with his recently opened coffee shop, Local.
I've been in the neighborhood. I moved into the neighborhood as soon as I graduated college. It was a really social sort of place that you knew, you said hello to people, everyone, they would all come out at night or in the afternoons or in the sun. They'd sit in the sun in the park down there. Back in the early 90s, what was cool, on the 4th of July, before Giuliani was mayor, you used to buy, this was the neighborhood where you'd buy fireworks. So dudes would show up in their cars, it was less cars, even less cars then, and out of their trunks they'd sell fireworks. And then on the 4th, they piled all the fireworks that weren't sold, and they'd pile it about 6 to 8 feet high. It was as tall as I, it was like that high, and then dump gasoline on it. And then just toss, they'd light it up, and the thing would, it would just go crazy for like 15 minutes. And all the old people would have their, like where Donna Karen is right now, they'd be on that side of the street, just sitting there watching it. It was just the most, it was like the most backwards, like white trash sort of urban sort of celebration every year. That's what brought me to the neighborhood and made me stay. It had like had real old school sort of feel, and New York was slowly losing that. And this is one of the last places that kind of held on to it. I've owned Local, opened up Local with my wife Liz and I, in I guess 6 years ago. I used to work at another at the coffee shop around the corner. It was called Augie's. And my wife and I, she was a graphic designer. She had a business, and we decided, hey, we're gonna bring the kids up, so we might as well open a little, somehow a little way to make money. So we I opened a coffee shop right here because I had all these, I had kind of a following from the coffee shop over there, so I had an initial base of customers that I could just bring to this block. Although it was just a block away, it's a totally different neighborhood. If you, like I see friends, I had a friend come to my house I hadn't seen in about 15 or 20 years, and came and ate here, and he's like, my God, this is exactly like coming to visit you 20 years ago, how I would, when people came by, I would get my cheese up there at the cheese store, I'd get the butcher stuff right here, go to the bakery down the block, and that's how we ate. There's a lot of that authenticity to this neighborhood that has been kind of washed out in the rest of New York in a lot of ways. And that's what I wanted to do with this. This coffee shop was, when Liz and I opened it, it was meant, it's meant to be a, I want it to be an establishment as more of a coffee shop. I want it to be like a place that feels like it's been here forever and it feels like it's always going to be here. I don't want people to come and go and some kind of like conversation happens between you. It's a place for people to meet up, and if someone has an apartment they need to re-rent it, you know, they tell me and I usually find someone, or if someone's looking for a roommate, they can find someone. It's like a little bit of a hub, you know, and that's what I want it to be. And then maybe, and then the business hopefully will sustain itself so it'll be here for a while. So I think people like it because it makes them feel like they're part of it. They don't feel like they're at a chain. I hope that's what it is. It's very community, this neighborhood. And I wanted this, for it to work, had to be that sort of thing because that's my strong point. When I first moved here, I found my apartment through Village Voice, and I had a choice between this one and one on Morton Street and one on Jones Street, and they were all like $800, and they're all one bedrooms. So that's gone forever, you know what I mean? I don't know, the financial people, you know, that's who can afford to live here in these small places, but it's transient. People don't stay as long. You know, things change. New York changes fast, always. That's part of it. It's like a living organism. It's always changing. And, you know, some things are for the good, some things aren't.